Gwenor shook her head. It's not good. I was caught completely by surprise. Why didn't the general tell me he was heir to the throne? Dimitri winced. He didn't tell you? No. Who's going to believe we're close when I don't know the most basic things about him? What else is he hiding? Dimitri looked away, frowning. There is something. What is it? An alarming thought struck her. Does he have a mistress somewhere else? Not at the moment. Women are generally reluctant to get involved with any man from the cursed clans. People really believe that? A pained look crossed Dimitri's face. It is true. Gwenor sighed. As far as she was concerned, the curse was only true if you believed in it. But what else could Silas be hiding? A loud clanging sound interrupted her thoughts, and she turned toward the entrance. Using a carved wooden baton, a servant struck a gold gong, and another clang reverberated across the great hall. The gong was suspended next to the double doors of the entrance. Precious jewels lined the perimeter of the gong and shimmered in the multitude of lit candlesticks. His Majesty, King Petrus. Her Majesty, Queen Freya. And His Highness, Prince Silas, the servant announced in a booming voice. The courtiers quickly parted to leave a wide path down the middle of the room, then all bowed and curtsied. Gwenor sank into a deep curtsy, her heart thudding in her chest. Prince Silas? And everyone believes he is my lover? With her gaze downcast, she grew tense when the king and queen passed by her on their way to the dais. A pair of booted feet stopped in front of her. Silas. She rose from her curtsy but avoided looking at him. We need to talk, he whispered. She snorted. For someone who kept wanting to talk to her, he managed not to tell her much. When he moved away, she stole a glance at him and watched him step onto the dais. He frowned, casting a wary look at the jeweled coronet hanging over his chair. Was she just imagining it? Or did he seem uncomfortable? When the royal family took their seats, the rest of the courtiers rushed to the smaller tables to sit down. Servants came in carrying huge trays of food. Gwenor sat next to Dimitri, her heart still thudding as she occasionally glanced up at the dais. If she had met the king earlier, she could have guessed he was related to Silas. They were both tall, with black hair, green eyes, and similar jaws, although she had to admit that Silas was much more handsome. Petrus was probably in his mid-30s, although he looked older. The weight of his office must be wearing on him, she thought, or perhaps he was becoming ill like the queen. There were dark circles under his eyes, wrinkles were etched deeply into his brow, and his shoulders slumped in a way she interpreted as sadness or weariness. She glanced over at Silas. He looked wonderfully fit compared with his older brother. His gaze lifted from his plate of food to look at her, and she glanced away. He should have told me, she muttered. Why didn't he tell me? Dimitri paused in the middle of slicing into a piece of roast mutton. I don't think it's something he's comfortable with. He's actually spent very little time here with his brother. He grew up with you and Alexei? Dimitri nodded. We were all trained to be soldiers. It was always assumed that Petrus would have several sons, so Silas never believed he would inherit the throne. He still should have told me. Probably so. Dimitri ate while he considered. I can tell you this. He always introduces himself as General Dravenko. That is how he sees himself. He spent most of his life with the army. That is his home, not here.
I see.
Dmitri offered her something underneath the table. He wanted you to have this.
A dagger?
What is this for?
Slide it up your sleeve, Dmitri advised. It's a gift from Lord Romac. He's hoping you'll kill Silas in his sleep.
She scoffed.
You might find this hard to believe, but I can be peeved without being homicidal.
He smiled. I wasn't going to give it to you, but Silas told me to go ahead.
He has a death wish?
Dmitri chuckled.
No, he thought you might need it for self-defense.
A chill crept up her spine.
Are you saying our investigation will be dangerous?
His smile vanished.
You'll have to be careful. If there's anything I can do to help, please let me know.
She nodded.
Thank you.
As she slid the small dagger up her sleeve, she reminded herself why she was here. To keep other children from being kidnapped. To help Silas save his people. To find a cure for the Queen. With a small shock, she realized that Silas's mother had been the former Queen. His mother had fallen into madness and thrown herself into the Norva River. And now the current Queen was in danger of succumbing to a similar fate. No wonder no one wanted to marry into the family. Another startling realization skittered through Gwenor, making her stiffen in her chair. Sorcha was a princess.
That should do it.
Gwenor looked over the collection of 30 bowls scattered about the Queen's dressing room. After dessert had been served, Lady Margosha had escorted her to the Queen's dressing room. While Her Majesty and the rest of her ladies-in-waiting were occupied with the dance in the Great Hall, Gwenor and Margosha were secretly testing the Queen's belongings for poison. After filling each bowl half full with water, they had selected different items for testing. The sleeve of a nightgown had gone into one bowl, the sleeve of a day gown into another. A glove, a scarf, a sock, a cap, several rings, bracelets, necklaces, and hairpins. Anything that the Queen might come in contact with on a regular basis.
I didn't realize we could be poisoned through our skin,
Margosha said, as she peered into one of the bowls. So you're hoping some of the poison will seep into the water?
If the poison is there, yes. Then we can test the water and return the items where they belong.
Margosha nodded. If she notices any of the wet items, I'll just tell her I had them washed. She'll never know what we've done.
Was Her Majesty angry when she found out that we'd returned Eviana?
Actually, she took it very well. But then she's surprisingly lucid today. Every now and then she seems almost normal and we get our hopes up.
Margosha heaved a sigh.
But it doesn't last.
I'm sorry.
Gwenor wandered about the room checking on each of the bowls.
I can't imagine the pain of losing 5 children.
Margosha sat at the dressing table, her shoulders slumped.
It's taken a great toll on the Queen. The King, too.
I heard that women all over the country are having trouble conceiving.
Margosha winced.
That is true, but it's considered a state secret. Silas and the King believe it would be disastrous for other countries to know that our population is dwindling. It has gotten so bad that Silas has allowed women to become soldiers in order to make it look like we have a full army. He worries that other countries will attack if they realize we're vulnerable.
I don't think he needs to worry about Eberron or Turin. They both want peace.
Yes. But that's a new development, because they have new kings.
Margosha wrinkled her nose.
The former kings were so nasty, they would have attacked. And there's still the problem with Woodwin.
Silas has been trying to convince his brother that we should make peace with the elves. We can't afford to lose any more of our people in battle.
Why is Noveshka at war with Woodwin?
Margosha shrugged. Who knows? Every now and then the elves attack one of our villages. We don't know why, but we have to defend ourselves.
Perhaps, you should send an envoy to Woodwin to discover the motivation behind their attacks.
Margosha nodded. Silas's father tried that about 20 years ago. He sent an envoy, Dmitri's uncle, but Lord Telenko never returned. We can only assume the elves murdered him. Gwynor winced. Has enough time passed?
Margosha motioned to the nearest bowl. We can't be caught doing this.
I'll start the testing.
Gwynor dipped a silver spoon into the first bowl. No reaction.
What are you looking for?
The most commonly used poison reacts to silver by turning it black, Gwynor explained as she wiped the spoon dry. She went about the room dipping the spoon into each bowl. No reaction.
So the queen's not being poisoned through her belongings?
Margosha asked.
We can't be sure yet.
Gwynor removed the nightgown sleeve from the water and wrung it dry.
This only means that the guilty party is not using poison derived from the seeds of the darker flower. It's the most common poison, since darkers can be found in almost every garden on Irthlan.
Margosha nodded.
There are some here in the castle garden. I'll go through the garden tomorrow to check for other plants that can be used to make poison.
Gwynor poured the water from the bowl into a small glass vial, then rammed a cork in it.
I was wondering why you wanted all those vials.
Margosha motioned to the sack she'd brought into the room, along with all the bowls and a pitcher of water.
Thank you for bringing all the items I requested.
Gwynor wrote white linen nightgown on a label and tied it to the vial.
I'm happy to help.
Margosha watched as she moved on to the next bowl.
So you plan to keep a sample of water from each bowl?
Yes, so I can test for other kinds of poison.
Gwynor removed a ring from a bowl and dried it.
Could you put this back?
Of course.
Margosha helped her, and soon all the clothing and jewellery items were back where they belonged, and they had 30 labelled vials of water. They were drying the bowls and stacking them in a sack when a knock sounded on the door, startling them. They whirled toward the door just as Silas peered inside.
Oh, holy light!
Margosha pressed a hand to her chest.
You scared the life out of me.
Her Majesty is on her way here, Silas whispered.
You need to leave, now.
We're almost done. Gwynor quickly dropped another bowl into the sack.
I said now, Silas ground out.
You go. Margosha motioned for her to leave.
I'll finish up here and sneak everything out.
Are you sure?
Gwynor gasped when Silas grabbed her arm and hauled her toward the door.
It's part of my job to keep the Queen's dressing room in order,
Margosha quickly explained.
Hurry now.
We'll create a distraction, Silas said as he pulled Gwynor through the door, then shut the door.
I don't like the way she keeps endangering herself, Gwynor whispered.
Then help me distract the queen. He led her a short distance down the hallway, then stopped close to a doorway.
This is the queen's bedchamber. She'll be sure to see us here.
Gwynor tugged her arm free from his grip.
What are you planning?
He turned his head toward the end of the hallway. She'll be coming up the stairs soon with her ladies. Gwenor shut her eyes, focusing on her extra powerful sense of hearing.
They're on the stairs now.
Your hearing is that good. She opened her eyes to find him peering curiously at one of her ears.
Stop that!
She stepped back against the wall and covered her ears before he could see them turning red from embarrassment.
Why are you hiding them?
I think they're cute. She gave him a wary look. What does that mean?
Ah, another word that's too modern for you. Cute is...
He glanced down the hallway as Queen Freya reached the top of the stairs.
Can you act as well as you can hear?
Excuse me?
Play along.
He slammed a hand against the wall close to her head, making her jump. He was trying to draw the Queen's attention, she realized. She glanced toward the Queen to see if it had worked, but he suddenly blocked her view, leaning in close. She stiffened.
What are you-
Shh! He nuzzled her neck. She shivered at the feel of his breath feathering the curve of her neck. Goodness, she could hardly breathe. Was that the tip of his nose trailing up to her ear? It made her skin prickle with goosebumps.
Is this the distraction?
He nibbled softly on her neck. She pressed her palms against the wall, seeking its support, for she feared her knees would give out.
You couldn't think of anything else?
No. We're having a moment of passion.
We are?
He nipped at her earlobe. Do you always talk like this when you're having a moment of passion?
What makes you think I'm having such a moment?
He paused, then drew back to look at her. Was that a glint of gold in his eyes? It made him look wild and hungry. She glanced away, biting her lip. Why did he have to be so appealing? You're not feeling anything? She shook her head. Thank the goddesses he could no longer hear her thoughts. Then I'll have to try harder, won't I? He pulled her close, locking one arm around her waist. His other hand cupped the back of her head. She gasped. They were pressed against each other so tightly she couldn't breathe without her breasts pushing against his hard chest. The hallway swirled before her, so she shut her eyes and grabbed onto him for support. If he tried any harder than this, she might melt into a puddle at his feet. His breath warmed her neck. Then she felt the soft brush of his lips grazing her throat and moving to her cheek. Closer and closer he came to her mouth. Good goddesses, was he going to kiss her?
Gwen, he whispered,
his lips moving against her skin. Was he asking permission? She drew in a shaky breath. She was tempted, so very tempted, to turn her head and meet his mouth with her own.
You stopped talking.
His mouth reached the corner of hers. Does that mean you're feeling the passion now? She blinked. Was he playing with her? Had this all been a game to him?
Silas! The Queen screeched. Whatever are you doing?
He drew a deep breath, his chest moving against her. Then he released her as his mouth curled up.
Oh, dear, we've been caught.
Chapter 13.
Damn, he wanted to kiss her.
Silas slapped himself mentally to stop lusting for Gwenor and instead focus on the irate Queen, who was hurtling toward them like a fired cannonball. He could practically see the steam coming out of her ears. The three ladies in waiting accompanying the Queen didn't appear at all angry. They remained behind Her Majesty, exchanging grins. No doubt they were excited to witness such a scandalous moment. It wouldn't take long for them to spread the news around the castle that he'd been caught kissing his mistress in the hallway. If only he had kissed her. That had been the original plan, but once he'd pulled her into his arms, he'd found himself unable to force a kiss without her permission. So he tried to make it look like he was kissing her. Unfortunately, the more he had resisted doing it, the more he'd wanted it. If they had been alone, would she have let him? Fool. If they had been alone, he wouldn't have needed the distraction. Clearly, he was too overwhelmed with lust at the moment to even think straight. Holy light, he wanted to kiss her. He wanted to do more than kiss her. How dare you! Freya stomped a foot on the wooden floor. It's one thing to bring a mistress to our castle, but to fornicate in the hallways is really... We hadn't progressed that far, Silas muttered. He glanced over at Gwenor and noted a blush creeping up her cheeks. Even her cute ears were turning pink. She must be embarrassed. Damn, now he felt guilty in addition to feeling frustrated. But it couldn't be helped. Until Margosha managed to make her escape, he had to keep this scenario going. Freya scoffed. If we hadn't interrupted you, you would have been fornicating. He groaned inwardly. I can only hope. Do you realize you're misbehaving right in front of my bedchamber? Freya continued. Ah, Silas glanced at the nearby door. My apologies, Your Majesty. We were caught up in a blazing inferno of passion. Right, Gwenny? Her ears turned a brighter shade of red. See how hot she is. He wrapped an arm around her waist and pulled her close. My darling Gwenny is practically feverish with desire. When a sound escaped from her, somewhere between a groan and a whimper, he winked at her. I know it's hard, Snookums. I can barely wait myself. The glare she shot at him was so heated, he half expected sparks to shoot from her eyes and sizzle across his skin. Holy light, if they did have a moment of passion, they might set the bed on fire. Patience, Bunnykins. We'll find a bedchamber soon. He spotted Margosha slipping out the dressing room door behind the queen and her three ladies. With her arms filled with supplies, Margosha scurried away from them down the hallway. Freya crossed her arms, scowling at them. I have never seen you behave like this before. The elfin whore is clearly a bad influence on you. Silas's hand tightened on Gwen's waist. Disparage me if you wish, Your Majesty, but do not speak ill of Lady Gwenor. Freya huffed. You defend her? An elf? She's beautiful, Silas declared, and he felt Gwenor stiffen beside him. Did she think he was lying? She can never be anything more than a mistress, Freya hissed. Surely you know that Norveshka would never accept an elfin queen? With a gasp, Gwenor tried to pull away from him. He held on to her, keeping her pressed against his side. Whenever I marry, whomever I marry, that decision will be mine. He swooped Gwenor up in his arms, ignoring her small cry of surprise. Good evening, Your Majesty. He strode toward his bedchamber, carrying her. What are you doing? Gwenor whispered, her hands clutching at his shoulders. Making a dramatic exit. I want them to focus on us and not Margosha. Can you see her? Gwen peered over his shoulder. She just went into a room on the other side of the stairwell. That's her bedchamber. He nodded. We did good. And the queen? She and her ladies have gone into her bedchamber. With a groan, Gwen ducked her head. That was so embarrassing. Why?
Are you embarrassed to have me as your lover?
She gave him an incredulous look.
Has it never occurred to you that I don't like being the subject of gossip? Or that I hate having my reputation ripped to shreds?
He winced.
I am sorry about that. At the time, it seemed like the best way to keep you and Margosha safe.
You don't find this embarrassing?
No. I'm actually flattered to have such a beautiful lover.
She scoffed.
This is not real.
Ouch.
Why did that hurt?
Because you still want to kiss her, you fool.
It... Don't say it. Once you say it, you can't take it back.
It could be...
Damn it, why did you say it?
It could be real.
If you wanted...
Put me down!
She squirmed, but he pressed her harder against his chest.
You seem to have forgotten the first rule for dating.
He angled his face close to hers. When you go for a ride, you hang on tight and never let go.
That's not for you. It's for dating a dragon.
Ah, so you still want to date Puff?
I never said that.
Silas let out a sad sigh. Poor Puff. He'll be so disappointed. He's very sensitive, you know.
She blinked.
Then he does like me.
Ha! You do want to date him.
Do not!
You shouldn't toy with his feelings, Gwen. Rule number 2 for dating a dragon is to remember they have extra-large hearts. That means they can love fiercely, but they can also be terribly hurt.
Her eyes narrowed.
Extra-large hearts?
He nodded. So be careful if you decide to date him.
I can't possibly date a dragon.
Then date me.
Her mouth fell open. She looked a bit dazed, but damn, he still wanted to kiss her.
He motioned with his head toward the nearest door.
Can you open that for me?
When she turned the knob, he kicked the door open and strode inside. She peered around the room with a confused look.
This isn't my bedchamber.
No, it's mine.
She gasped. Put me down!
As you wish.
He headed for the bed.
Stop!
She struggled against his hold. When he set her on her feet, she made a wild dash for the open door.
You didn't answer me.
She paused in the doorway.
Answer what?
Will you date me?
She gave him an incredulous look.
Are you being serious? Because I never know. As far as I can tell, everything is a joke to you. I'm just snookums and bunnykins, and you're playing with me.
He walked toward her.
I'm not playing now.
How can I believe anything you say or don't say? You keep hiding things like the fact that you're the heir to the throne.
I didn't think it was important.
With a scoff, she impatiently brushed her hair back from her brow.
It's extremely important, for it gives you motive. If the king's children were truly murdered, then the next in line...
What?
He halted with a jerk. Holy light, what did she think of him?
You think I could harm children?
No.
A pained look crossed her face.
Others might believe it, but I don't. I saw how you were with Eviana.
You thought I would make a good father.
She hissed in a breath.
You heard my thoughts. Do you have any idea how mortifying that is for me?
Yes, I do. I heard your reaction.
With a groan, she covered her face.
Don't be embarrassed. I like the way you think.
I like you.
He took a deep breath.
Hearing your thoughts helped me to get to know you well. When she lowered her hands, her eyes were glimmering with tears. It didn't work both ways, for I hardly know you at all. And it doesn't help when you deceive or trick me, or when you neglect to tell me something important. I need you to stop hiding things from me. He swallowed hard. There was one thing he could never reveal. We all hide things, Gwen. Our worst fears, our secret desires. What we truly think about each other. She blinked away tears. I don't know what to think about you. What would you like to know? How much are you ready to know? She bit her lip, then ventured a quick glance at him. Do you truly think I'm beautiful? Yes. You're more than beautiful, you're clever, brave and loyal. Those are the qualities that are the most important to me. She took a deep breath, and her breasts nearly popped out from her tight bodice. Holy light, he wanted to kiss her. I have a question for you. Did you, when we were embracing, did you want to kiss me? Were you tempted? She looked away, her cheeks turning pink. No answer? He stepped closer. If he took her into his arms, would she stop him? She retreated a step. This is happening too fast. I met you only yesterday. We can slow down. We have plenty of time. No, we don't. She met his gaze. I'm leaving in a month. He swallowed hard. He'd forgotten about that. I could still see you. I could visit you. To what end? Is it true what Her Majesty said? I would never be accepted here. I don't give a damn what people think. If you become king, they will be your people. So you should care. Gwen. No. She lifted her chin. I won't date you, and I will not be tempted. It felt like a jab through the heart. He did his best not to recoil. She strode through the doorway and shut the door, in his face. Damn it. He clenched a fist, ready to punch a hole in the damn door. He still wanted to kiss her. He wanted to tempt her. Hell, he simply wanted her. To what end? Her words echoed in his mind, and he let his arm drop to his side. If he started something with her, how would it end? Would he end up trying to separate her from her adopted sisters and making her miserable instead of happy? He'd never known anyone from the three cursed clans who had managed to have a happy relationship. He sighed. He needed to keep his priorities straight. They had work to accomplish, so he should be concentrating on that. But he still wanted to kiss her. With a groan, he realized what the real question was. Not if he wanted her, that was a clear yes, but she was leaving in a month. The real question was, if he fell for her, would he be able to let her go? While Nyssa untied the laces on Gwenor's gown, her thoughts kept returning to the scene in the hallway. She'd come so close to kissing him. Good goddesses, she'd been so tempted. And then he'd asked her to date him. She shook her head. Of all the things to focus on, that's where her thoughts kept going. She should be making more plans on detecting the poison and debunking the so-called curse. But as she slipped on her nightgown, she kept wondering what Silas would think of her now. Would he still find her beautiful? She glanced at the door that led into his dressing room. Was that the sound of running water? Was he bathing? Don't think about him. But how odd that he'd mentioned that Puff had an extra-large heart. When she'd done a reading on him, she'd noticed the same thing about him. It seemed like a strange coincidence. "All done, my lady," Nisa's words interrupted her thoughts. "Thank you, Nisa. You may go now." "Good evening, then." Nisa bobbed a curtsy and made a quick exit through the bedchamber. Gwen glanced once again at the door to Silas's dressing room. "He wouldn't dare," she winced, recalling how close he'd come to kissing her. And all those outrageous comments he'd made. She'd been feverish with desire, and they'd been caught up in a blazing inferno of passion. Oh, he would dare, the scoundrel. She dragged a chair over and rammed it against the door. He could probably hear the noise she was making, but that should make it clear that he was not welcome. She strode into her bedchamber, closing the door to her dressing room behind her. As tense as she was, she feared she would have trouble sleeping. But it had been such an awfully long day that within minutes of crawling into the large bed, she fell fast asleep. Sometime later, she stirred when a sound emanated from her dressing room. "It is nothing." She rolled over and snuggled deeper into the wide, comfy bed. The door to her dressing room made a slight creaking noise. Her eyes fluttered open, but she couldn't see anything. The fire in her hearth had gone out during the night. A few glowing coals provided enough light that she could barely discern the blurred outlines of a few pieces of furniture. "It's nothing." A shadow moved into view. With a gasp, she sat up. "It's definitely something." "Don't be alarmed." "It's Silas. What are you doing here?" "No one will believe we're lovers if the servants discover us sleeping in separate beds." "He meant to sleep with her?"
"No!"
She dragged the red velvet coverlet up to her chin. "You're taking this lover pretense much too seriously." "Shall I take it lightly, then?" He bounced onto the bed.
"What are you doing? You can't get into my bed."
"Oh, that reminds me." He pulled back the edge of the coverlet. "I need to be under the covers so it looks like I slept here."
"You're not sleeping here."
His grin flashed in the dark. "You want me to do something else?"
"No!"
"Ah, rejected again. How many wounds must I endure?" He pulled off his shirt.
"What are you doing?"
She scooted to her edge of the bed. He tossed the shirt onto the floor. "We have to make it believable. I never sleep with a shirt on." He fumbled underneath the sheet. She eyed him warily.
"What are you doing now?"
"Just a minute." He lay back and raised his hips. "There." He sat up and pulled his breeches out from underneath the sheet. "I never make love with my clothes on." She gasped as he tossed the breeches across the room.
"This is outrageous. Are you totally..."
"Naked?" "No. I still have on some drawers. But it might be more believable if I take them..."
"No!"
"Very well." He flashed another grin. "Anything to make you more comfortable."
"I'm not comfortable."
She grabbed a spare pillow and jammed it between the two of them.
"Don't you dare cross this line."
"So you're all right with me staying?"
"I didn't say that."
"Gwenny." He stretched out on his side, his head propped up on his hand. "I have the utmost respect for you. I won't do anything to upset you."
"I'm already upset."
"I'll stay on my side of the bed and leave you alone. In fact, you'll be even safer with me here because I can protect you. So go back to sleep."
"How can I possibly sleep with you in my bed?"
He shrugged the shoulder he wasn't lying on. "You ignore me."
Ignore him? When he was practically naked and the sheet only reached his waist, and his chest looked so interesting.
She turned her head, focusing on nothing in front of her. I won't be able to sleep.
Are you not used to sharing a bed?
I am, actually.
I'll kill him,
she snorted.
You're always joking.
Not always. Who is the bastard who shared your bed?
She gave him a wry look.
Your sister, and if you don't behave yourself, I'll tell her what you called her.
He grinned.
You slept with Sorcha?
At the convent, yes.
He lay down, crooked his arm beneath his head for a pillow.
What is she like?
Are you close to her?
Very close. I'm only 6 months older than her. I can't remember a time when she wasn't a part of my life.
You miss her?
Gwen pulled her knees up against her chest.
Yes, I miss all my sisters.
You'll see them again.
Gwenor nodded.
In a month.
Brody had promised to check on her in a week.
Brody said he would bring me letters from them.
That's good.
The jewellery you loaned me tonight.
Not alone. I gave it to you.
You shouldn't have. Those pieces belong to your mother, so they should go to Sorcha.
He shrugged his shoulder again, causing her gaze to return to his broad chest.
Would you mind telling me about her?
She tilted her head.
Who?
Sorcha, unless you'd rather sleep.
With an inward wince, she realized she'd been staring at the curious-looking ripples along his abdomen.
She turned her head away and scooted back, so she was sitting against the headboard with the coverlet up to her chin.
Are you cold? I could build up the fire.
No!
The thought of him wandering about in his underpants was too much.
I'm feeling warmer.
Her face flushed with heat.
Do you still want to hear about Sorcha?
Yes. She seemed very straightforward and strong.
She is strong. I've always envied that about her.
Why would you? You're strong too.
Gwen shook her head.
I let people look down on me. If someone sneered at Sorcha, she'd probably punch him in the face.
He chuckled.
Probably so. But I still think you're strong. You have an inner strength that doesn't give up. And once it's added to your cleverness and sense of loyalty, it makes you formidable. Just look at what you've been through the last 2 days.
Her heart softened. Even though he was a scoundrel, somehow he knew exactly what she needed to hear the most.
I'm not used to...
To what?
Her blush grew hotter, and she hoped he couldn't see it in the dim light.
You seem to think highly of me.
I do.
She ventured a quick glance at him.
Good goddesses, his face looked so sweet against that pillow.
Don't think about that.
She hastily made sure her mental shield was intact.
I'm afraid I'll disappoint you. I can't be sure I'll succeed.
I know. I've fought enough battles, seen enough of my people die, to know that success is never guaranteed. We can only do our best.
With a sigh, she closed her eyes and leaned her head back.
He did have a serious side. How could he not, when he'd witnessed so much war and death? His habit of joking had to be the way he dealt with stress and hardship. It was endearing.
Margosha told me you didn't find any poison earlier.
She opened her eyes.
That's true, but we did make some progress. We ruled out the possibility that the poison being used comes from the darker flower. Tomorrow I'll check the garden for any other plants that could be used to make poison.
Sounds good. He yawned.
I have some meetings I have to go to, but I'll catch up with you at the midday meal.
All right.
The sight of his yawn made her yawn too.
We're tired. Try to get some sleep.
He rolled over toward the edge of the bed. Good night, Gwen.
Good night.
She stared at his back for a while. So strong and muscular. The tan skin looked like it would be warm to touch. Don't think about that. She scrunched down, curling into a ball on her edge of the bed. Behind her, she could hear the sound of his soft breathing. Sorcha's brother. She smiled to herself. If Sorcha knew what her brother was doing, she'd clobber him for sure. But he wasn't causing her any harm. He hadn't tried to touch her. In fact, he told her the thing she'd most wanted to hear. With a sigh, she stretched out and closed her eyes. Perhaps he could be trusted after all. Chapter 14. She should have known not to trust him. Some hours later, she was jerked abruptly awake when he suddenly wrapped an arm around her and pulled her back against him. She gasped. What? Shh! He whispered in her ear. Play along. She elbowed him, and when he scooted back, she rolled onto her back to glare at him. The scoundrel had moved the pillow and crossed the line. You... She halted when he rested his hand against her cheek. He leaned close. The sun is up. Your maid will be coming. The door creaked open, causing a narrow shaft of light to beam into the room and fall across the bed. Gwenor blinked, suddenly able to see Silas's face so close to her. His hair was tousled, and her fingers itched to brush back the dark curls falling over his brow. There was a quiet determination in the gaze of his green eyes, and a shadow of dark whiskers along his sharp jawline. A gasp emanated from the doorway along with a clunking noise. Silas sat up. Oh dear, we've been caught.
My apologies, Lord General.
Nisa curtsied, focusing on the floor as her face grew pink.
Please forgive me. I was just coming to light the fire.
She motioned to the basket of firewood that she dropped. That's quite all right. Silas smiled at her. But I suggest you knock from now on. I have a hard time resisting my darling Gwenny in the morning. With a groan, Gwenor pulled the sheet over her face. That's my snookums, he teased. Always trying to sneak a peek at the crown jewels. With a huff, she lowered the sheet and scowled at him. Nisa gathered up the basket.
I'll come back in a few minutes.
Silas gave her a wry look. Give me an hour at least.
Oh, of course, Lord General.
Nisa's eyes widened as she observed his broad, muscular chest.
You can take all day if you like.
Gwenor winced. Could this get any more embarrassing? You can leave the firewood, Silas told the maid. I'll get the fire started.
Yes, my lord.
Nisa set the basket on the floor, then backed out and shut the door. The room grew dim, and Gwenor took a deep breath. They were alone again, in bed. With a gasp, she suddenly remembered the dagger underneath her pillow. Why hadn't she thought of that last night? She could have used it to chase Silas away. Why hadn't she? Had she been too busy eyeing his chest? Is something wrong? He whispered.
I just recalled I have a knife under my pillow.
Ah, I guess I'm lucky I survived the night. She nodded.
I miss my chance.
What a shame. But there's always tomorrow.
What? You intend to come back?
Of course. He leaned over her and stroked her cheek. How could I resist? She pushed his hand away.
Don't tempt me.
To do what? Kiss?
No, to use the dagger.
With a chuckle, he sat up.
So is this the one from Lord Romac?
No.
She motioned toward her bedside table. That one is in the drawer.
Holy light, Snookums. How many knives do you have?
Keep calling me that and you'll find out.
With a smile, he stretched out beside her. I enjoy being with you, Gwen.
Her face grew warm. Goddess's helper, she enjoyed his company too. But there was no future for her here. Only heartbreak if she fell for him.
We should be focusing on our mission. Instead, you keep wasting time trying to prove a fake relationship with embarrassing scenes.
There was an awkward silence. Then he scooted across the bed.
Since you find our fake relationship embarrassing, I'll be on my way.
She winced. Had she hurt his feelings?
It's not you that embarrasses me. Well, the Snookum stuff is a bit embarrassing, but the real problem is the fact that everyone thinks I'm
having the best sex in your life 5 times a day. She huffed.
You must think highly of yourself.
I have to. I keep getting rejected and it's crushing me.
We hardly know each other. How can I be hurting you that badly?
He was silent for a moment, sitting at the edge of the bed.
That is a good question.
A few more awkward minutes passed. Then Gwenor said, "Please understand, I was raised in a convent. I have no experience with men, so it is only natural that I would be embarrassed for people to think I'm behaving in a wanton manner."
He nodded. "I can understand that.
Thank you.
But we have a saying in Norveshka that the chicken has already been plucked, meaning the feathers can't be put back on. It's too late now to convince people that we're not copulating."
His mouth twitched.
"That's a nicer word than I was going to use, but I like the way you talk."
She snorted.
"Because my speech is archaic? Because it's one more reason for me to think you're beautiful."
Her gaze met his, and for a few seconds it felt like the air was sizzling between them. It made her feel hot, breathless, and needy. As if she desperately needed something.
"I'll get the fire going."
He tossed back the covers to get out of bed. She turned away, fanning herself. Good goddesses, but the fire had already started. When he picked up the basket of firewood, she ventured a quick glance at him. Long, muscular legs, white linen underpants that clung to the contour of his buttocks. "Don't look." She pulled the sheet up to her brow and listened to the sound of him working by the hearth. After only a minute, the room flooded with light and she lowered the sheet. There was a blazing fire in the hearth and he had put on his breeches and pulled open the curtain.
"How..."
She glanced at the fire.
"How did you get it going so quickly?"
"I'm good with fire." He scooped his shirt off the carpet and strode toward her.
"I'll see you at the midday meal in the Great Hall, all right?"
She nodded, her eyes widening now that she was seeing his bare chest in full daylight. There were indeed some interesting ridges across his abdomen. The battle scars she'd discerned during her reading were there. One on the shoulder and one below his ribs. And the tattoo was there on his left shoulder. Goodness, it was big.
"Is that a dragon?"
He glanced down at it.
"Yes."
"You had it done because you can communicate with the dragons?" He motioned to a bell pull by her bed.
"That's attached to a bell in the small room next door. Your maid's room. She can help you get dressed."
His mouth curled up.
"Unless you'd prefer my help."
She scoffed.
"You may go."
With a sigh, he trudged toward her dressing room and his rooms that lay on the other side. Rejected again. After shaving and getting dressed, Silas hurried to the great hall where only a few courtiers were having breakfast. Most of them were sleeping late, since last night's dance had kept them up well past midnight. He helped himself to some eggs, ham, and bread with jam at the buffet table, then sat across from Dimitri at a small table. Dimitri shot him a wry look. Congratulations.
Why?
Silas took a big bite of eggs. You've become a legend due to your phenomenal performance in bed. Silas choked, then managed to swallow, his eyes watering.
What?
You survived the night in Lady Gwenor's bed, Dimitri muttered. So the servants have spread the word that you avoided being stabbed to death by wearing the poor woman out. Now they're laying bets on whether she'll be able to walk. Silas coughed, then quickly downed a cup of cider.
I barely touched her.
But you did climb into her bed, Dimitri grumbled. You barely know the woman. What the hell are you doing? Silas scoffed. Are you my mother? If you care about her at all, stay away from her. You know what happens to women who marry into the three cursed clans. Silas sat back. Who said anything about marriage? Dimitri grimaced. Don't fall for her, all right?
I'll be fine, don't worry.
Silas spread some strawberry jam on his bread. He'd always been careful in the past to keep his heart at a distance. He glanced at his old friend. Dimitri had married his first love 6 years ago, but then she had died 9 months later in childbirth, along with his newborn son. Ever since then, he'd believed in the curse. And he had vowed never to marry again, so he could never cause another woman to suffer. Silas took a bite of bread. Alexei should be arriving soon with Annika. Dimitri shrugged with a disinterested look. She's going to help Gwenor. Just keep her away from me. Silas sighed. When Annika had joined the army a year ago, she'd immediately fallen for Dimitri. He'd brushed her off, trying to scare her away with dire warnings about the curse. But as far as Silas could tell, her feelings had not withered away. She simply admired Dimitri from afar. Silas had thought that was the end of it, but then he'd secretly caught Dimitri gazing at her with a look of longing. I don't believe in the curse. Dimitri was quiet for a moment, then muttered,
I do.
I know. But believe in this too. I'm going to get rid of it. Dimitri sighed.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Silas nodded, then lowered his voice to a whisper. Did you see where that priest went? Dimitri glanced around the room, then leaned forward. He met Romac in the woods. They exchanged letters, then the priest handed Romac a small bag. Romac looked inside, removed a gold coin, then dropped it back in.
He's getting rich spying for someone, Silas concluded.
Dimitri nodded.
Someone from Eberron, I assume, since that's where the priest came from.
Silas drummed his fingers on the table. Given the fact that the courier is a priest, I would guess Lord Morris from Eberron is the one paying for information.
Lord Morris?
Silas nodded. He was head priest and chief counsel for King Frederick. Morris would like to get rid of the new King Leofric and go back to the good old days when the priests held the power of life and death over their followers. Dimitri winced. Thank the light our priests here in Noveshka never wielded that kind of power. But what could Morris want with our country?
Silas gazed out a window while he considered.
If he wants to overthrow King Leofric, then he would need an army.
Our army?
Silas nodded. He could be using Romac to persuade our